And welcome to another episode of Power On Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Taylor, and with me, as always, is my cohort in action. I'm so terrible at these things. But, Sushi, how you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. I've had a decent week and ready to go for another episode. It's been a while since we've had a actual recorded episode, so looking forward to this one.
Yeah, kind of get back into the groove kind of thing. So, yeah, and, with us today is a guest. Some of you, well, maybe most of you, will probably should know this guest. And that is Mr. Peter.
Yay.
Hello. Thanks for having me on,
guys.
Thanks for coming on. And I guess for those of the listeners who do not know who you are, could you please just kind of, I guess, introduce a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/PeteDore, that's with two R's and one O. And I started my channel back in 2008, and it's kind of evolved over the years, and I mostly cover platformers, RPGs, kind of just quirky games in general. And yeah, I'm very fortunate to have, you know, a lot of viewers of my channel that appreciate my videos, and I enjoy doing it. You know, I'm the kind of person where when I stick to a certain like hobby on the internet, like let's say making websites or such, I always kind of like my enthusiasm to keep working on something always gives out over time. So I find it very surprising that I've stuck with YouTube for this many years. I don't know about you guys, if you're the same way, like starting projects and then kind of just giving up on them over time. But yeah, and that's basically it. I also do a podcast, The All Gen Gamers, which is at allgengamers.com. We've been doing that for just over 2 years now. And have a lot of fun with that as well.
Cool. I can attest to that. I have maybe not so much internet stuff, but with writing, I'll be really into writing, and then I'll just kind of peter out and just be like, I feel like doing something else for the time. So I definitely feel you on that, Pete. Be like, yes, I'm doing it, and then you know, a couple months down the road, just I'm gonna take a break. So.
Yeah, I mean, there's been times where I take an extended break for like a month, or sometimes upwards of 2 months. I think in the past I've taken a break from YouTube, which is a good thing to do, you know, because you'll get worn out from it. Like right now, I'm almost approaching a month of no videos. That's mainly because I just lack the time right now because I started college again. So, I mean, that's my excuse at the moment, but I am definitely in it for the long haul. I always wonder how long I'll be doing YouTube for. I don't know if you guys ever thought about that. Like, how many years will you be doing YouTube for? You know, it's a weird thing to think about.
Yeah, it's definitely something you don't kind of think. Sushi, I know, doesn't really do videos, but I mean, just the podcast, I guess you could say, like, we don't have a, oh, let's do this X amount of times or X amount of years into the future. Just kind of do it.
Yeah. So. You don't script that stuff out for sure, right? I mean, it's just one of those things. You probably get tired of it eventually, but if that happens, then it's definitely time to shut it down.
Mm-hmm. And breaks are definitely essential, I think. I've taken quite a few breaks for different things. One was for the National Writing Month last year, which I'll be doing that again. So another November kind of thing where I won't be doing videos. Heck, right now I think I have like about a month and a half where I haven't made a video. And earlier this year I had destroyed my ankle and gained a lot of weight, and I had to kind of put YouTube aside and stuff and actually work on getting less fat, which I'm in the process of still doing and enjoying still. Breaks help. It keeps the monotony of doing even things that you like from kind of overwhelming you and just kind of making you disinterested in it. So
yeah, becoming something you don't like anymore.
Right.
You got to keep the drive alive.
Exactly.
Right?
So, but yeah, the topic for today is an interesting topic, and I don't know about you guys, but it's something that I've kind of always been in the back of my mind because the word gets thrown around a lot. I don't know if the topic for the day is discussing what is hardcore in games. The end.
Thanks for coming on, Pete.
But yeah, no, but I because Sushi and I briefly, really, like 2 seconds worth of talk prior to, we were kind of just throwing out kind of thoughts about it. But I guess we should kind of start with the guest here, Pete. Pete, what would you define? Like when you hear the word for hardcore, when it comes to gaming, what comes to mind?
It's the reason why I thought this topic was interesting is because, like you said, everybody throws the word around, but I've never sat down to actually think to myself, like, gee, hardcore, what could that exactly mean in gaming? I mean, is there really a difference between, say, that 50-year-old mom that has a world record and Bejeweled on the PC and somebody that plays World of Warcraft for, you know, 18 hours a day? I mean, they're both hardcore in their own right. And before I came on, I thought it would be an interesting idea to look up what hardcore gamer is, like, according to the internet. And Urban Dictionary has a really sort of interesting summary of it. Let's see here. They define hardcore gamer. And Urban Dictionary, if people don't know, people put in their own definitions of something, and then people vote it up and vote it down. So this is the most voted up and generally accepted definition of a hardcore gamer. Someone who plays video games as a primary hobby. They tend to spend large amounts of time playing games, often in excess of 2 or 3 hours a day. They tend to care less about graphics than casual gamers. While some specialize in a single genre, they typically have fairly diverse tastes in games, frequently playing a wide variety of games from different genres, which I could agree with. They'll often seek out obscure and older games. I don't know. What do you guys think about that? Does somebody have to seek out older games to be hardcore? I don't agree with that.
I would say it's not necessarily the case, but I think that at least acknowledging the history and having respect for it, that would be someone who would be more hardcore to me than somebody who only strictly plays like the current generation or the current games.
Right. I mean, what about someone that's 13 years old that didn't grow up with a Genesis or Super Nintendo and doesn't exactly enjoy playing retro games, but you know, as long as they have an appreciation and an understanding for them, you know, they can play Halo and Call of Duty and Madden, you know, for 5 hours a day. And would that be considered hardcore? That's the thing. What would you define as hardcore? Somebody that is very diverse in the genres of games that they like? Is it, what if they just play one game for 10 hours a day?
Well, I guess with that said, then Pete.
That's addiction.
Yeah, well, no, with that, Pete. Like, I guess with the Urban Dictionary, would you agree with the Urban Dictionary kind of definition of it? Or
well, there's still more.
Okay.
No, let's see. Okay, so they'll seek out obscure and older games based on word of mouth or positive critical reception. Hardcore gamers put good gameplay above all else and don't mind if a game has poor or even non-existent graphics, sound, characters, and plot. I kind of agree with that. In other words, gameplay comes above all else before graphics. What do you guys think about that?
Most of the time, but I think there's a lot of broken games that are still extremely enjoyable too, despite maybe having great graphics and stuff.
Yeah, I would kind of... I don't know if I agree. That seems like a very... what's a overarching kind of definition? It almost, to me, I guess.
Well, it's very broad. They try to encompass everything, right?
So I don't know. Like, for me, I guess,
Well, what comes for you guys? What comes first for defining a great game in your mind? What would you put as the number one thing that would determine a great game? Graphics, gameplay, controls, like that's what I think they're hinting at.
I'll go first, I guess. I would probably actually go with uniqueness and heart. It has to have something that sets it apart from something else.
So like a combination of everything then, right? So it's not just the gameplay. It's sort of just a game, say, like Katamari Damacy would be a good example of just a really different, obscure kind of the kind of game that only certain gamers would understand, I guess you can say.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody that only plays shooters, if they went and played Katamari, the chances are they probably wouldn't quite understand it as much.
Maybe,
as, say, yeah. I don't know, Taylor, what do you think?
I can kind of see where you're going there. I guess in that regard, they maybe not appreciate something, or just they really just don't care for it. Like Sushi and I recently... Well, maybe not recently, but we played Loco Roco, and that is an incredibly basic game. That's you know, Katamari Damacy, kind of basic, you know, rolling a ball here, you're kind of tilting the world to roll little Loco Rocos all over the place. And if you, you know, our age, adults probably that aren't maybe hardcore, I guess, using the Urban Dictionary term, would probably not care for the game to too much. I don't know, Sushi. What do you think on that?
Oh, probably. If they see you play that on the train, it's going to be weirdo.
Might be a little creepy there, but
But the odd thing is, if that was on cell phone, people probably wouldn't have any problem with it. But it's the fact they're using a PSP, right? Using a specific device to play what looks like a weird game to them.
So I can kind of see where you're going with that.
Well, one good example is look at a game like Rez, where it doesn't really excel in gameplay. It's pretty basic, but just the melding of graphics and music and just overall style is what really makes that game. So in a way, you know, I kind of take back that gameplay would come before all else. I think it's just the combination of everything working. Like, nothing has to exceed above anything else as long as it works together in sort of a cohesive way, like Rez does.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Rez takes the basic idea of Panzer Dragoon and almost narrows it even more. And somehow they just were like, well, let's slap on a great soundtrack and make it all psychedelic and crazy, pretty basic graphics for the most part. And it just all comes together. But as you said, Pete, a lot of people look at Rez and they're like, that's just weird. What is that?
Yeah. I have a few friends where I tend to do this to them. I'll be like, listen, you have to play this game. And they've stopped taking me serious now at some points because I recommend some weird games sometimes and it's kind of hit or miss. Like, my one friend really enjoyed it. My other friend just didn't understand it and he kind of hated it. So it's, and he's the kind of person that plays a lot of shooting games, like a lot of online, type of games. So yeah, it's, I don't know. I guess a game like Rez is only something that, dare I say, quote, hardcore gamers can understand.
Very acquired taste. Maybe like
I don't think we've gotten to the definition of hardcore gamer yet. That's the thing. I mean, is there a definition of hardcore gamer? What about people that play iPad games exclusively? Like 40-year-olds that play Angry Birds and, you know, all those kind of pick up and play games on the iPad. Is that different than playing console games all the time?
To a point, yes, but and most of those people don't consider themselves gamers at all, though, often, right? They're just like, well, I'm waiting for a bus or something. It's just something to do to kill time. They don't necessarily say, I'm a gamer. So at least in that regard, they wouldn't consider, be considered a hardcore gamer, at least.
I think the same thing would probably tie back to PC gaming, whereas, you know, a lot of parents of kids that play games, they'll play like Facebook games, but I think it's more of just, like you mentioned before, the addictiveness of social games like that. So they're not quite playing them because, you know, they enjoy playing games. It's more of like they got all their friends on there and they get addicted to it.
Right.
So I think there's a fine line between being addicted and being a hardcore gamer. Like we mentioned earlier, is someone that plays exclusively MMORPGs a hardcore gamer when they don't branch outside of playing MMOs?
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, Sushi, you want to bring up how you kind of, what you feel about just hardcore in general? Because
well, I just wrote a few things down and Pete actually struck most of them. I just have like, how do you measure it, right? I have measured in, is it gameplay ability? Is it, you know, someone's size of collection or their collecting ideals? Is it the types of games that they play? Is it their knowledge of games and history? Is it their passion for the art of games? Or is it just a word that's someone uses to place themselves above other people? Because it's kind of an alienating word. A lot of gamers use it to alienate people who they feel don't have like an understanding of games. A lot of teenagers use it, right? As in that case, like I play, as you said, Pete, they play maybe shooters and that's great. It's fine. But they're always like, you know, I'm a hardcore gamer because I play Halo 4 or whatever. But you're obviously not, Pete, you're obviously not a hardcore gamer because you play Rez, you play DS games, you play whatever, right? It's foreign to them. So they kind of have their pocket of what they feel is the truth versus maybe what's a broader truth.
It's sort of like the people that kind of, this generation ruled out the Wii where, you know, they only exclusively play games on the 360 and PSP and they ignore the Wii because all they think that's on there is kiddie games, whereas there's quite a bit of games on there that sort of are a very unique experience and I would argue would be for, well, I don't even want to say like hardcore gamers because once again, I don't even think I could define hardcore gamer quite yet. It's still such a general term. Like another thing with the Wii U, people are referring to that as Nintendo is reaching out to the hardcore gamers. But what does that mean exactly? They're launching with New Super Mario Bros. U, Eventually, Pikmin 3 will be coming out. I think they're referring more to reaching out to hardcore gamers because of games like Zombie U and what is it, Batman that's come out on there, Darksiders 2. So do many people define hardcore gamer as action games, mature rated games? Maybe that's it, because they never referred to the Wii as a hardcore system despite having tons of unique games on there. But the second that Nintendo starts... But the second that Nintendo starts supporting M-rated games and franchises, they suddenly are targeting the hardcore. So maybe that's the most generally accepted term for hardcore.
Maybe. I really thought about this, and the kind of schism for when the word hardcore really seemed to become, quote-unquote, an important term kind of began with the N64, the PlayStation, and the Saturn. Because there was the schism between, obviously, the Genesis and the Super Nintendo, but everyone was still a gamer at that point. And then something happened where the N64 decided not to go with the disc-based system. And it was like, oh, there's only baby games on Nintendo systems now. And Nintendo always kind of had that, but it didn't really kind of hit home until the internet started to pick up and that generation started to evolve. And it was like, oh, the PlayStation is badass. The Saturn is just garbage. And the N64 is for babies. And that's where it, after that, that's when it started to branch out into this, all these pockets of, well, this is hardcore and that's not, and this is, and that, at least to me, that's kind of, cause I guess I grew up with that during that period, like before and then during that time. And I could see people in school talking about, you know, oh, only babies play that and whatnot. But I don't know if you guys would agree with that or if you think it was after.
I think you're hitting on it, but I think it evolved from the Genesis, the Bit Wars, I guess you would say, with the Genesis and the Super Nintendo. Because they always had, because the Genesis was always trying to be the rad, cool,
the
tubular
kind of
thing. And
maybe the seeds started to get planted, but really started to grow the following generation.
Right, because of how gamers aged, and eventually, you're hitting that kind of funky age when you're a teenager, and you want to rebel, you're in that rebellious phase, and you're always like, yeah, I'm the coolest, I'm the greatest, ah! Yeah. And so,
Children of the 80s.
Crazy children of the 80s and early 90s there, so.
Right.
And once the PlayStation started to, like, come once PlayStation came into the game and stuff, it kind of wanted to separate itself from those two, because you had the Saturn and then you have the 64, and you know the 64's got Mario and Yoshi's Story and it's all kind of cutesy and stuff looking, and everybody's just like, well, we don't want that. We want these jaggedy, twisted metal graphics.
Ugly looking graphics.
Well, I don't mean to say it like that. That's kind of me being a jerk.
No, but...
I was on the Nintendo
side. Want cool borders and Jet Moto and...
Yeah, I was still kind of really young at that time, but you could see that, as you said, that schism, where to separate, they just said it was hardcore. I think it's just fluff. It's not... I don't think it really has a definition in that. It's just because it's a very divisive word in that regard. It's like, oh, this is hardcore, and that's whatever's not hardcore, or in this term, I guess you could say cool. It's lame kiddie stuff. I don't know if...
It's just hot air.
Right, like, because you and I are close. We're moderately close, and I think, Pete, you're... You don't have to say, but you're a couple years younger than... us, I believe.
Gonna be 25 soon.
Okay, never mind then.
Well, you're close to Taylor.
Yeah, you're closer to me. So I guess Pete and I could probably, I don't know, Pete, I think you were on the other side. You're on the Genesis side. What do you have to say?
I mainly grew up, well, I got the Genesis as my first system for my own. My first console I played in my home was the ColecoVision, but the first console for myself was the Genesis. And, you know, I didn't stick solely to Sega consoles. I didn't get a Saturn when it first came out, but I did get the 32X. I didn't get the Sega CD when it first came out, but I did play that at my grandfather's house. But I was sort of always exposed to all the different systems. Nintendo consoles, first one was the Super Nintendo, and then I got the NES afterwards. N64 was the first sort of... I would say I was more attached to the N64 than the Super Nintendo, only because I got the N64 right around when it came out, as opposed to several years later with the Super Nintendo. But as a kid, I mean, I'm sure everybody would agree, it's almost impossible to get all the consoles. You kind of stick with one, either Sega or Nintendo. But the fact that I was able to appreciate them and not take a fanboy stance on, you know, a certain side, I think was important. I don't know. I mean, now I have everything that I ever wanted as a kid. Unfortunately, though, it's sort of, it's unfortunate because I can't, for me personally, I don't appreciate the NES, say, as much as I should have because I didn't own one growing up. So the games I kind of appreciate, but as a gamer, I'm not as attached to them as much as, say, my Genesis games. I mean, they're two different generations, but, you know, most people back then had, you know, either a NES or a Genesis or a Super Nintendo. It was kind of rare to find anybody with all three.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I don't know. I really would have to kind of pinpoint this. I blame the fanboys. I blame the fanboys for kind of bringing up this hardcore word and kind of what it's been bastardized into now. Because as Sushi, as you pointed out, it's the media likes to throw out hardcore as kind of, and Peter, you kind of mentioned this too, is that that hardcore is the action, is the gore, is the violence. As mm-hmm. for whatever reason, I don't know. Maybe I'm just kind of.
I think it's just because of the way that the word is thrown around in other contexts, like, you know, hardcore music. That's right. That whole new subgenre of music, like hardcore punk bands and all that stuff, where the music tends to be more gritty and more extreme. Of course, pornography, you know, so people think they take hardcore and they apply the uses to other things and they apply it to gaming. Like on just plain old dictionary.com, the way they define hardcore is unswervingly committed, uncompromising, and dedicated.
Unwavering.
Interesting, because like when I think of hardcore, I would pin it as like a synonym for kind of aggressive.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but I mean, according to the dictionary definition of hardcore, this could apply to someone that plays just Nintendo games because mm-hmm. it's saying that they're committed, they're dedicated. So you could be a dedicated and committed fan to just Nintendo, and that could mean well that you're a hardcore Nintendo fan. So,
right.
I think that's the true definition, is just somebody that is just committed to playing certain types of games. So in my opinion, someone that does play just World of Warcraft, say, for example, is a hardcore gamer. I would argue mm-hmm. The world record holder of like any game, they're dedicated to getting that world record. Like, I don't know if you guys have ever watched on Twitch TV, SigilMick. 64 is his name on there, who does the world record attempts on Super Mario 64. He gets 120 stars in like an hour and 40 minutes without hacking anything, like straight run through. And I watch this guy play and I can't believe what I'm seeing. He, in the month of August, I think it was, he would play Super Mario 64 for 10 hours a day, every day. That's hardcore.
That's being a bum.
No. You could say the same thing though for anything outside of gaming though. I mean, sure. Somebody who's an athlete dedicates 10 hours of time to training physically for some sort of like just Olympian athletes. They train, you know, 10 hours a day, you know, swimming, skiing, what have you. We don't say that that's hardcore though. We just say that's dedicated.
Right.
I feel like there's something missing from that definition. That it kind of gets touched upon in the dictionary.com. I think it's missing something. I think there's like an emotional attachment that, or like an emotional investment that's being made to some degree. I don't know if, to me, when I think of hardcore, your emotions are being taxed in one way or another. There's something that's causing you to want to like continually kind of go back to it, and not just in an addiction, because I would separate those two. An addiction is an addiction. Like, you could be addicted to crack, but you're not a hardcore crack addict. You're addicted to crack. I mean, that's, I guess that's just how my brain is kind of translating hardcore, for better or for worse. So. Yeah.
Well, I mean, definitely, if this guy is on Twitch and he's playing Mario 64, and I was just joking when I say he's a bum, but he's obviously putting the time and effort to do this. For some reason, I don't know if it is just to impress people, if it's just to impress himself, if he's just got some sort of personal goal or whatever it is. But as you just said, Taylor, it's just like other things that we don't use the term hardcore. Athletes are an excellent example of that, right? I mean, they're dedicated to their craft. It's like somebody who builds a boat for, you know, and they build it for months and months and months. They're not hardcore. They're just dedicated
hardcore boat builders.
Hardcore.
Well, that or take like a writer. They take a, you know, writer who goes off to do some sort of
For sure, climbs mountains in Nepal to write the greatest novel that ever
Right.
existed.
We usually just say they're alcoholics. We don't say they're hardcore. They're just, you know, if they shun themselves from society, usually they're kind of they're working on their work. We don't call them hardcore. It's just they're working on their craft, or you know, they have to shut out the world to let out this world that they're trying to work on. Or like their imaginative world or whatever. So.
We often think of those people as being quite extreme, right?
Right.
Odd. They're like oddballs.
But we never
a
use
lot
the
of
term
writers.
Hardcore.
No, we don't. No, we don't. They were just kind of like, oh, well, he was a recluse. He was very
Right.
strange. He did these things, but he also wrote extremely well. Or he's an excellent painter, but, you know, he cut off his ear. Or like, you know, like weird stuff like that. But yeah, we're never like, he's hardcore. We're just like, we show some sort of attention and almost desire to reach the same goals to a point as that person. But we also think, well, I don't want to turn into a weird person.
Right. we have the aspiration, and we want to be
we all
able
want
to
be
the
loved.
goal, however we don't want to pay the price, I guess.
Right. We want the glory, but we don't want to have the work to get it. But at the same time, we also don't want to be viewed as some oddball person.
So, but
I think it's just a matter of time. It has to be the community has to embrace the word hardcore. Because if you think of it, for example, with music, I'm not a historian on music, but when did the term hardcore styles of music even come up? I think it's just, you know, it has to be that certain, that community has to embrace that term for their hobby.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I guess for, like you guys were saying, for like a book writer or a boat builder, you know, I guess most people that are just into those hobbies, are of older generations. I don't think there's many kids building boats or,
right.
You know,
I'm
so
sure
I guess just
probably are, but,
but I think it's just a matter of, the people that are into the hobby would have to embrace the term hardcore. It could apply as a hardcore boat builder, but it just doesn't sound right.
You know, sounds
just like hardcore music. That doesn't, you know, it's kind of weird in a sense, but you know, that's a term.
Well, lots of entertainment don't even use that term, right? Do you say hardcore comic book reader? I mean, you don't,
exactly.
Right? Maybe you just say very, very interested in comic books or what have you. But I mean, I collect comic books, but I wouldn't say I'm like, oh, hardcore or something. Or some people are extremely passionate about movies. And the thing is, like, you could potentially say someone's hardcore about movies because movies are kind of like games. There's huge number of genres that you can watch and pay attention to. But I don't know. Have you guys ever said like hardcore movie watcher? I don't
it just
know.
Doesn't
I've never...
sound right.
It sounds really,
it doesn't.
Really
it's such a, it's maybe that's the problem is it's this weird generational word that is only being applied to certain forms of entertainment or certain aspects of someone's life. Like, well, like, what is that one? Straight edge life, right? Like, that's a term that, I mean, I never heard of until not that long ago where, you know, this idea of people not drinking.
I was going to say, you're going to have to define what that is because I have no idea.
Well, it's just like this lifestyle of not doing drugs, not drinking, not getting involved in, like, you know, crime, things like that, just being very on the straight level.
So basically, being, just kind of not.
Not necessarily
bad.
like being a part of like a religious faction or something, but just being very, very straight about everything, just not deviating from, I guess, what they perceive as the norm of living a clean life.
New age monks.
No, I suppose you could say something like that, right? I mean, kind of is maybe a first world monks. I don't know. What, like,
sans the religion there.
Yeah. I mean, some of these people probably do have some sort of religious affiliation, but I don't know. Jedi. I don't know.
Huh? Huh. Taken a path I had not expected.
Well, that's the point. This is such a weird topic, right? As Pete already mentioned at the start, it's so hard to define this word that it's just going to lead to some other tangents that are going to be like, well, why are we talking about this word? Where is this coming? This is such a broad topic. It's hardcore is just, to me, I think it's a dumb word because it's just thrown around like a lot of words are on the internet, just thrown around and then they become catchphrases. And people
like
just
epic.
Latch onto them.
Like,
sure. Yeah, the word epic or that word did mean something for a while, right? It meant something, but
if you said epic 3 years ago, like it meant that shit was epic. But now if you say epic, it's just like, oh yeah, whatever.
Oh yeah, that cereal was epic. And it's like, ugh.
Thankfully I try not to like that word really, whenever I hear that, it always makes me cry a little bit because when somebody says epic, I don't think of like super awesome. I think of
thinking of the Odyssey.
Yes, I do. I think of the Odyssey and the Iliad. I think of epics. So I kind of, history nerd. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I mean, Kim come from the same faculty as you, brother. but yeah, it's funny how words get attached to certain things and then they catch on and they just spread like wildfire. And the internet is such
notorious
a place, right? It is notorious for that, but sometimes the internet is obviously a good thing because you do learn about things through the funny words or what have you, but.
This is the second part of the Urban Dictionary. It's the second paragraph, but I thought this was really funny. I'm just curious how many people are listening are like, okay, yes, check, that's me. All right. Stereotypical hardcore gamer is out of shape, has poor hygiene. They spend a lot of their disposable income on video games, consoles, or PC upgrades, and a large percentage of their free time either playing video games or discussing them online and off. They wear either black clothing or t-shirts with geeky pop culture references, often to video games. Sounds like me. Their social skills may be subpar, and they may be less likely than others their age to have many friends, a job, and a girlfriend, a boyfriend. Some of these stereotypes are negative, and they certainly don't apply to all hardcore gamers, but there's a fair amount of truth to them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go through the list then, and you guys, let's rank it check or axe for yourself.
Okay.
So what was the first one, Pete? Out of shape or something?
Out of shape. That I don't agree with.
I'm not even close to being out of shape.
I'm trying. I'm getting into good shape.
Yeah, but Taylor, your case is not because of video games, right? That's different factors.
Well, so. that kind of video games helped.
No, you busting up your leg is what caused it, though, right? It wasn't specifically you were only playing video games and not being active. That wasn't the case. So, okay, we're all X.
Okay.
Taylor knows I'm not a lazy bum.
Yeah. He's definitely not a lazy bum.
Poor hygiene.
No.
Not even close.
Not for me. I question it sometimes at, like, PAX events, but not for myself. For
TGS can't be much better, I'm pretty sure.
I was going to say, yeah, I think that one might be a half truth for a lot of people, or it could be just a genetic thing where that because they're even though they might have good hygiene, because they sit and play games so much, it just like smells kind of just linger kind of thing.
Yeah.
I guess I don't want to like gas. Well, I mean like some people who just have like a just for some reason they have a stench about them that they
a pungent smell.
Damn it, let me finish. But no, there's some people that just smell really bad just for one reason or another. It's not because of hygiene or something. It's just something with their body.
It's a natural scent.
Right. That just some natural odor.
It would be the same if they were playing a sport and they were running for half an hour and they were sweating. What? They would still smell. It's just one of those things.
So,
I mean, it could be...
They forget their underarm detergent, or, you know, deodorant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it could be correlated. If you are potentially overweight or something, and you are obviously maybe sweating more, then yes, you're probably going to smell. It's just a fact.
Or if you're not cleaning your clothes or something, then yeah.
Right.
You know, that's not very good. That's not.
I don't know. I don't have a problem with it, but personally, like, I have to have a shower when I get up in the morning. Otherwise, I can't do anything. I constantly clean my house. It's just. I don't know. It's just that's just my personality. That's got nothing to do with games. It's just everyone has their personal quirks about them, right? Like maybe your quirk is you can't sit there with the speaker facing a certain way. It just bothers you or whatever. My quirk is I got to clean all the time. It's one of those things.
So she's OCD.
Somewhat.
So you're one of those people that washes their hands 50 times a day, huh?
Not quite 50.
Turn the door handle with the handkerchief.
I deal with little children all day long, so I have to wash my hands a lot. Others I get.
Yeah, I don't blame you on that.
I go to 6 different schools, and I have one school each day, so I might go to the same school all the same week, or in like 1 week I might go to 5 different schools, and yeah, you definitely. Those little monsters. I use that endearingly, of course. The students definitely, not only are they, you know, there might be 28 kids kind of all, but I'm, you know, having to go through like the whole school of
clawing at Taylor.
250 kids that are all like, Taylor Sensei, oh my God, Taylor Sensei. And it's like, oh, I am so going to be sick by Wednesday.
Yeah. But today I am a god.
But today I feel
great. Yeah.
So, but no, okay. All right, the hygiene one.
Hygiene, and then...
they spend a lot of their disposable income on video games, consoles, or PC upgrades, which I would partially agree with that.
Okay.
In this day and age with YouTube, where it seems like it's almost a fad for people to buy more games than they can handle. But then again, that's getting into collector territory. But I would say if you're heavily into games, you spend a large majority of your money on it just simply because of how expensive they are. You know, one game is $65 with tax, at least in the States. And I would argue, you know, probably at least one game a month comes out that you're probably interested in. So that's quite a bit of change to fork over.
I mean, once you even, like, approach the collector territory, I think you could kind of say that they, I guess, are hardcore game interests, possibly, if you're going by the, I guess, I don't know, I'm going to stop talking, because I don't know what
Well, maybe to a point, Taylor, because as you and I have seen, obviously, these eBay prices and stuff where people are trying to gouge the so-called collectors and stuff, and a lot of these people just go out and buy it anyways, instead of bothering to just sit on it, wait for it, or, you know, get off your butt and go looking in garage sales and what have you. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know about that one, but
people are now, people are now, by the way, in terms of eBay, people are now asking $1,000 for complete copies of Earthbound.
What?
Yep.
What?
$1,000.
Yeah.
What?
That stuff's all buy it now, too. They, I've noticed everything is buy it now. They've pretty much negated all the auction stuff.
Yep. It's like the sellers and they're working together. Because you used to be able to bid and get them for like $300-$400, but now universally across the board, all buy it nows, $1,000.
Conspiracy.
Like you don't even have a chance to try and bid.
It's a conspiracy. eBay conspiracy.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That is ridiculous.
I know personally about the, like, I guess the buying game stuff. I mean, I buy stuff once in a while, but I don't, there was definitely a time where I think in 1 year there I bought probably like 150 games or something. But that was a while ago. It was a long time ago now when I had more money and I didn't have to import stuff. So it was, you know, the local store had it. I could just walk over, look and be like, hey, okay, I'll buy this, this. But now I don't have the time to play them. I have to import the stuff. I've got a lot of other personal things to deal with. So yeah, it's just not the case anymore.
I would partially agree with that. I think what would, I guess, to me define hardcore is if you are spending your income to the point where it is inhibiting your life in one way or another. If you are spending so much money that you have to eat ramen noodles for like a week straight
all
or something. If you're
PD.
if you are on the potato and green pepper diet, then from like buying so many games, yeah, that's a little hardcore.
Well, if you're only on the potato and green pepper diet, you probably lose a few pounds at least.
Yeah. Well, no, I speak from experience on that one. But that had nothing to do with games. That was just finances in general. But yeah, so
moving on.
Large percentage of their free time is spent either playing games or discussing them, which we kind of hit on that the entire first half of this. I guess that's true. Most hardcore gamers play a lot of games. I don't know so much discussing them because some hardcore gamers might be sort of secluded and not have anybody to talk to about the games they play.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty true.
I mean, but I guess with the advent of the internet, it makes it easier for them to discuss it with people, I guess, through the anonymity of the internet. So they can just kind of put up that wall and be like, I like Pink Horsey or something.
Yeah, sure. You know, yeah, or
that does look like a good game.
Banana bobsled.
Yeah, banana bobsled. I don't like banana bobsled. That doesn't sound very
Somebody
good.
Does.
So, but
yeah, I think I agree to a point with that. It depends on your age. Most people start to realize that they have to start prioritizing their time. And I know there are obviously people that are, you know, 30, 40, 50 years old that only play games and don't work and whatnot. But I think obviously with age, you start to realize, yes, it's still your hobby and you love doing it, but well, now I have a wife and kids or husband or what have you, or I work 80 hours a week or something. You start to realize that, I can only do this so much.
Well, it's to the point now where being a gamer as a profession is like more realistic than ever. Like just, it kind of kickstarted with the whole StarCraft 2 phase with everybody that's playing that in esports, and esports is making it possible now to just play games for a living. And Twitch, people on there that have, you know, tons and tons of followers there, you know, where every time they go live, they have at least a couple thousand viewers. They make their living off of just sitting at home and playing games and people watching them play games.
which that's is in the US, right? With the StarCraft II, is that right? Yeah. Because obviously South Korea started with StarCraft way, way before that. So,
But it didn't really take off in terms of like the prize pools. Or another example is League of Legends. Holy
crap. Man, that's huge, yeah.
Oh my god. In Twitch the other night, there was a finals match, and there were almost 250,000 people watching that live on Twitch. Wow. The amount of money that they make from that, holy Christ. I think the prize pool for the winning team, which a team is five people, is $2 million.
I'm going to be honest. I know a friend who plays, but I have, and Pete, I know you've mentioned it before on All Gen Gamers and stuff, but I am completely oblivious to this League of Legends thing. This thing is like non-existent in Japan, from what I can tell.
I was oblivious to those games too, but.
It's
a huge deal in China, man. Oh, it's a huge deal in China. Like, it seems like everyone I just like, oh yeah, China and League of Legends. It's just a huge deal.
It's too intimidating for me. That's why I got into the one I'm playing, which is Smite, because it just started in beta. So I'm like, all right, if I'm going to get into one of these games, I'll get into this one. But I just want to say one thing. This genre of games, it's the absolute worst community of gamers I've ever played with. I don't play League of Legends, but the MOBA games, like the genre that League of Legends falls into, I play Smite, which is in the same genre. But the people that play these games are absolute assholes. Like, the ratio of nice people to bad people in there is like 20 to 1, and I'm not even kidding.
I've heard some bad stuff about League of Legends.
It's just so competitive that, you know, people in there just... Yeah, like, if you are new to the game and you do bad in one game, like, they will rip you to shreds. They're like, go kill yourself, uninstall your game, like, just some really messed up shit. Like, these are not the kind of games you want to play with voice chat with people you don't know.
Right, sure. Right.
I guess that would fall into hardcore for me.
Maybe, that could be addiction, though. That could be borderline addiction,
That's pretty, I don't know about that. Sounds like a very dark side of the internet and game I don't want to go to.
Yeah.
Not for everybody.
No. So what was next on that list?
Let's see. I like this one. This is my favorite one. They wear either black clothing or t-shirts with geeky pop culture references, often to video games. And that kind of defines me, because my entire wardrobe is nothing but t-shirts with like video game references. And I tend to wear black a lot. So that's kind of defining of me. I wouldn't completely agree with this statement, because I don't think all gamers wear just gaming shirts, because I think some of them would be sort of embarrassed to walk around in public with gaming shirts on, quite honestly. What do you guys think?
I'll let Taylor go, I guess.
I have a few shirts. I don't think I wear... I like to wear light clothes a lot. I mean, I don't really... I thought that this wouldn't be such a big issue, because before I'd left the States to come here, there seemed to be a very big explosion of kind of that goofy kind of little the game retro one-liners.
The vintage t-shirts?
The vintage t-shirts and stuff like that. Yeah. That seemed to be a pretty popular, and a lot of people wearing those, even people you wouldn't expect to wear those kind of things are wearing them and stuff.
I hate those shirts. I can't stand those shirts where it's like they have, for example, the ones with Sonic the Hedgehog, where one of them says, "I'm too epic to fail." Like, I can't stand shirts like this.
Yeah, I guess that's not what I was thinking. I was thinking more of kind of like what am I thinking? Just, I guess, like a picture and then just maybe like two words or something. Like somebody I've seen on the Game Chasers has that hat that says that has the one-up mushroom and it says "Get a life." Something
I can't
like
stand
that. I see them and I'm like, oh, that's kind of funny. And then I'm kind of, because I don't see them all the time here. It's not like something that's really pervasive throughout Japan.
But
so I'm not
to walk around
with
something
it.
Like, think of people that don't understand the reference. Like, if I was walking around with a hat that said "Get a life," that's kind of like borderline offensive. This,
oh,
like,
right,
maybe,
right,
yeah,
maybe.
Right.
It's like,
that's
what the
true.
Hell?
It's like, what? Get a life. Well, I mean, I have the Final Fantasy concert T-shirt with what's that? Ha. The one with
Distant
the wings.
Worlds.
Distant World. Thank you, Pete. I got that one. I have a couple of East shirts. Well, no, I have the one East shirt and another Legend of Heroes shirt and the Dragon Quest one. I showed the Dragon Quest one that Johnny had sent me. It's the one with that's kind of a spoof off of Oh, Dairy Queen?
Right, the slime one?
The slime one with the ice cream and stuff, and it's like, have a slime of a time and stuff like that. And I showed that to my kids at one of the middle schools that I teach at, and they're like, that is awesome! And after I told them the reference for the Dairy Queen, because they used to have Dairy Queen in Japan, but not anymore. Mm-hmm. And so, like, once they saw that and the logo, and then they saw that it was ice cream and stuff, like, oh, that's pretty cool. And I have the slime shirt that Nostalgia King sent me, and I've worn that playing gym class with the kids, and they're like, oh, that's so cool, it's a slime shirt and stuff, but they're still young enough to where that doesn't seem to off-put them, and they're just so...
Yeah. Once again, Taylor is a god.
Once again, hey man, those slime magnets that I bought, those are pretty sweet, so... Yeah. But, anywho, I don't wear them a ton, though. It's not like I, you know, go outside and wear them, it's just, because I work... And I have to wear the dress shirt and tie and stuff. I'm so into that now that even on my free days, a lot of the times I'm like, I need to wear a dress shirt or something. It's just kind of gotten to the, I've been, I guess, worked into having to wear this stuff. I've been whipped by my work into wearing this, I guess. So, but I don't know. I don't know. Sushi, what about yourself? I don't really think you don't come across somebody who would.
No, I mean, I'm very proud to be a gamer, but at the same time, pretty much everyone I know doesn't play video games, so I pretty much never bring it up. I bring it up once in a while, but I told Taylor recently, I don't know, Pete, if you know, like, the store Uniqlo? It's just like a clothing chain out of Japan.
Think of Old Navy. It's kind of...
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
Okay.
Anyways, they had like a set of Metal Gear shirts, and I walked in one day, and they were dumping them for less than $5. So I bought one. I've never wore it. I bought that recently. I have like this Mario shirt that was just some knockoff shirt that I bought probably 6 years ago. I think I've wore it once. Like I don't know. It's just not for me. I pretty much never wear black. I hate wearing black and I hate wearing white. The only white I might wear is like an under t-shirt, but I hate wearing black and white. I mean, Taylor, you've seen my shirts. They're pretty. They're pretty colorful,
they're
right?
They're pretty
colorful. Like the one I wear at TGS, very colorful. I don't know. I don't like those basic colors. I just kind of find it boring. So
I'm going to say no to that one.
A big no for me.
Yeah. Their social skills may be subpar, and they may be less likely than others their age to have many friends, jobs, or boyfriend or girlfriend. I would definitely disagree with this because all those aspects I think are more based on their personality, how they were raised as a kid, their responsibility, you know, that's, I don't think many of these things have to do much with playing games.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, that's definitely a good point to bring up, is that if you have a parent that just lets their kid play games all the time, sure, their kid will probably grow up to be a bit socially retarded, and I don't mean
awkward.
That. Yeah, awkward. I mean retarded in the sense of stunt, so don't PC people get off my back. But, and I can understand because they're, you know, their kid might not really, well, they won't have any sort of social skills because they're not practicing those social skills because they're just letting their kid play games all the time.
Well, then again, I don't know. This actually just reminded me and I watched it yesterday.
Mm.
I feel scared for the future of America. Have either of you watched that video of that bus monitor woman on the bus that gets like harassed by these middle school kids?
I read about that article. They said some pretty venomous things from what I remember, but I didn't.
It was so terrible. And just like kids like that are brought up with playing on Xbox Live and like hearing the dirty stuff that's said on there, like the stuff they were saying to this woman, I'm like, how the fuck do these kids even know like the meaning of half that stuff? Like they were saying, they're like telling her, I'm going to cut you with a knife and it'll probably go into you like butter and some very vulgar things. Jeez. That even I don't want to say.
Jesus.
Yeah.
They might not even know what it means, though. I guess they were middle school, though. So they would, I'd hope they would have an understanding of what that entails when they say something like that. I don't.
But as sort of a happy ending to the story, not to bring everybody down, but that woman ended up getting somebody like threw up a fundraiser for her to send her on vacation. The goal was $5,000. People ended up raising $700,000.
Holy shit. Nice.
So is she going around the world now or what?
I don't know. Maybe she retired early. I think she said she was going to donate it to, to the school or some of it to the school. But yeah, I thought that was kind of a very nice gesture of them. But just as an example, like kids these days, Jesus Christ, I guess that's just a lot of playing on Xbox Live and hearing the stuff that gets said on there. Like, I don't know how parents could let their kids play on Xbox Live these days with some of the stuff that's said online.
Maybe they don't know about it, right? They're just like, oh, they're just playing games like I did when I was a kid, or who knows, right?
That, or they just don't have a vested interest in their kid. I mean,
that is a big
not,
problem.
Not to kind of make it even completely off topic here, but I mean, I gotta point fingers at those parents a lot of the time, because they are supposed to be parents. They're not supposed to be their buddies. They're not supposed to be their friends. Yeah. They're supposed to be the parent.
Your bank.
So, right. So,
personal bank.
Right. Pete, I do agree with you. I definitely would fear for the future of America with kids that are acting like that. However, I think a lot of it definitely needs to kind of be pointed at the parents of today not really doing mm-hmm. their job.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think people are so self-absorbed into themselves, they're just like, oh, it's all about me kind of thing. But that mentality carried over into adulthood, into parenthood, and it's really having an adverse effect on their children.
Yeah. You get the opposite effect of that, though, Taylor. I mean, you get the opposite of that in Asia. A lot of the parents are, well, I can say in Korea, it's kind of changed. It's really weird. They've just let their kids roam free. They let them do whatever the hell they want. But in general, like, the idea is that the tiger mom thing of, you know, the kids are way, way low on the feeding scale, right? The parents are way up at the top and the kids are way at the bottom, and they have to do whatever their parents say. It's kind of changed in Korea. It's kind of just like, yeah, really? Like, you see these kids come to school and they just do whatever the hell they want.
Oh, yeah.
But definitely the general thing is, like, most of the parents are still pretty strict. It's pretty hard to get away with anything in a lot of cases. And it's just like, I have kids that come to school and I'm like, you know, what's your favorite food? Water. I'm like, oh, like, and they're awesome kids, well behaved and, but very smart, very nice kids, very sweet kids. But, you know, you can just tell, like, and I don't think it's in a bad way. I just think that their mom is very strict with them. And it's kind of nice to see to a point, but it's also just like,
it's on the other side.
It's a little harsh, because once they turn like 18, they go ape shit, especially in Korea. They go ape shit because, high school here is ridiculous. It's probably the hardest time of their life. They just study and study. They pretty much study for like 20 hours a day, maybe sleep like four, and then go back to school and study some more.
Say, the males, they have to, when they're 21, isn't like...
No, they have a range between 20, I think it's 19 to 30. You
can go to the military for 2 years?
Just less than two years. But yeah, but I mean, people get to uni. Mm-hmm. Once they get to university, they just go like crazy, because alcohol is everywhere mm-hmm. and it's dirt cheap. Mm-hmm. And they just go nuts because they've been under their parents forever, and now they have all this freedom.
And they don't know what to do with it.
Doesn't matter. The schools just pass everybody. Right. They just want to have this percentage of, like, look at our pass rate. We have a 95% pass
rate. Come to our school. So, give us your money.
Oh, they go crazy. And then the schools are expensive, but they just go crazy. They just pay for the scores in a lot of ways. And so you have that opposite effect of that, right, where kids are just going crazy. Mm. And once they're off their mom's leash kind of thing.
Right. Well, that's why you need to find that balance.
That,
right.
That fine line of, when do I punish? When do I not? What do I do with the punishment? You know, it's really tough. I guess being a teacher, you kind of get the idea of like, okay, I'm a bit on the outside of obviously the family aspect, but I'm still sort of almost like a parent, because these kids are pretty small. And, at least my kids are.
Well, I mean, the Japanese schools, the teachers can actually physically handle the kids kind of thing. So it's kind of interesting to see.
I think you can.
See when, you know, a teacher, like, there was one time, not going to mention names, but there was one time a teacher actually was yelling. He was yelling at the student. And the student turned his back on the teacher. And the teacher decided to give the student a swift kick in the ass. And I was like, I'm just looking kind of at the other side of the room, just kind of like, do-do-do-do, minding my own business. I'm helping the student here, do-do-do. And everybody else is just kind of like deadpan silent. And this teacher's yelling at him. I'm like, oh. And after class, the teacher's like, yeah. Probably shouldn't kick them, but
steel-toed boots.
Now, if that happened in America, that shit would be all over the news. It would be in the headlines. You'd have the activists coming up. It would be a whole big thing.
You're abusing the children.
That's a big problem.
Discipline.
Exactly.
Too much freedom, right? Too many people get in trouble for trying to discipline now. It's just like, ugh. No one seems to be agreeing on what's the proper way of dealing with anything. I've heard of, like, schools that you can't give zeros anymore, and it's just like, what? Kids don't hand in the assignment, you have to put incomplete, and they can still pass, no problem.
Right.
Yeah. We're not even grading kids anymore, we're just letting them get free passes for everything, and no wonder why they don't give a shit about nothing. I'm not, like, saying we were raised perfectly, because we obviously weren't, but it's and each successive generation before had it harder than in the last, but geez, we had it pretty easy for the most part, but it's just like...
That's stupid. How is that preparing them for college? Because in college, if you don't hand in an assignment, it's like, too bad.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't meet that deadline.
Yeah, but so many parents here just call in, you know, oh, stupid professor, blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, well, we got to overturn it. The kid's going to pass. Any parent can just call in now and be like, you know, you're an idiot. We're going to sue your ass because he didn't finish assignment because he was playing Xbox. Like, or whatever. He's hardcore.
Yeah, because he's hardcore.
Bringing it back to the topic.
Way to go, Sushi. Because he is hardcore on the Xbox and did not do his non-hardcore homework.
Yeah, anyways, let's try to
bring it back. Well, yeah, no, yeah.
Bring it back full circle
here. That it comes from that, though. I think not only is there an emotional investment being involved in here, but you also are taking away from other things, like, as Pete had mentioned in the Urban Dictionary, you know, spending money so much, like, to me, when you spend so much money, it's inhibiting doing other things or, you know, just being able to eat properly or something like that. And when I was a kid, I was pretty bad about this too. I would seriously wake up early in the morning, play like a game of Madden 64 before I would go to school. And I would not do my homework or anything. And I just, you know, play that. And then I'd come home, do not do my homework and just play that. And that's not a good thing to do, kids.
No,
it's not.
But as a kid, you go through a phase of that for sure as a kid. I mean, right. Some kids maybe get stuck in it. But I mean, we all can probably say we had those phases. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's be honest, right?
Oh, I totally did in high school when I was playing the first SOCOM. Like, same thing with Taylor. I'd wake up. I wouldn't play it before I went to school, but I'd go to school. I'd come home.
Not hardcore, Pete.
I'd come home and I'd play that until, like, you know, I'd have to eat dinner, and then I'd eat dinner and I'd run back up to my room to play more SOCOM until I'd go to bed. And that one, I guess, year in school, in high school, was like bad for me. It was the first time I ever failed a class, which of course was math because I hated it. And I sort of recouped after that the next year, you know, straight A's after I broke my addiction, which, you know, we brought it up earlier, but there has to be a difference between addiction and playing games hardcore. Cause I will admit I was addicted to SOCOM. Like, I've never done drugs, but I can tell you, I know what it must feel like, because it was like the one time where my internet went out for the first time when I was playing SOCOM. And it went out for a few days. Like, I felt like depressed. I felt like, you know, I needed this game.
So calm withdrawals.
Went cold turkey.
Yeah, it was terrible.
He's got the shakes.
Yeah, he wasn't on his psychedelic cosmic adventure anymore.
You have to definitely differentiate between addiction and hardcore. There's, because addiction feels like it's something you can't. You need something.
You need help.
Well, maybe not even help, but just something outside of you to kind of wake you up. Like, Pete, you failed the math class, and that kind of did.
Yeah, going to summer school kind of woke me up. I'm like, this freaking sucks.
Yeah, and it kind of straightens you out, and that helps. Like, I definitely, like, my dad, when I moved to my dad's, he's kind of one of those dads that's always, you need to do better. Kind of thing. Even if you get, like, you get a C, oh, it needs to be a B. You get a B, you need to get an A. Got an A, well, you know, you have to be doing something above that, or, you know, something that'll, like, he's always really, like, not a dick about it, but just always trying to push you.
Stern?
I wouldn't say stern. He's always just trying to push me to better myself. And, like, not even just academically, but also socially. It's like, what, you don't know everybody at school? Why don't you know everybody? I knew everybody in school. Get on it, kind of thing. Kind of like the Facebook, pre-Facebook days. I only had 100 friends. I needed 200 friends or something like that. So he always was like that. And that
hardcore friendship.
Hardcore friend going, yeah. But so, and that
he had a friendship bracelet and all.
A friendship armlet because of all the,
yeah, a sleeve.
A friendship bodysuit kind of thing. But you need something out of you for addiction to break it, whereas hardcore, you are making the conscious decision to be like, yes, I am going to invest all of this time, I would say, right. If you're going to differentiate between the two. What about yourself, Sushi?
Yeah, it sounds like you almost have to be rehabilitated by being shocked by something. Something has to... disrupt your, what's become your natural environment, and it has to disrupt you, and you have to, as you said, I guess, wake up and be like, whoa, you know, you've done the crime, now it's time to do the time, right? There's Pete did the time by going to summer school or whatever. So, I mean, in uni, I'm not going to lie, I did, but it wasn't like, yeah, I'm always studying real hard. And yeah, it'd be like the day before the final exam, what would I be doing? I'd have my computer on, I'd be having three TVs going, I'd be playing Phantasy Star 4 over here, Grandia Extreme behind me, and, you know, something on handheld. I'd be playing like three RPGs at once and trying to talk on the internet and all this. Next thing I know, I'm like, I jump on the bed and study for like 25 minutes. Yeah, I got it. And then I'd go back and sleep for 3 hours, go to school and be like cramming like crazy for 10 minutes before the test, and, you know, somehow get a decent enough score, or just smoke it somehow. But it's not good. It's really not. That's just my personality, I guess, too. Again, kind of shining or not shining through.
I was going to say, you now, Pete, are going through good old university life. How is that? Because beforehand, you definitely were really kind of had a lot invested into kind of knowing what games were coming out, and having this really, really good idea of like even some of the kind of newer, kind of lesser known stuff, even if it's in Japan or in America or whatnot. With university life, how has that kind of affected?
Well, my previous college was a community college, so it was a pretty damn easy college. I actually graduated with a 4.0 from there, but I have since switched majors since going into my university, which I won't name drop it, but it's a pretty damn tough school. And I switched into journalism, which is, it's pretty intensive on like reading and writing. So, I'm kind of required to keep up with the news, which for me, for gaming, it was never a problem, but I was never really a big kind of political person. So the fact that I'm sort of required to read the NewYorkTimes.com and all that, it's kind of jarring and different for me. I want to switch into journalism because I'd like to write, or, you know, in some kind of journalistic fashion in the future about games. But all this reading and writing of stuff that is not games has, in, you know, it's hindered my time to, at least play games. I still do make an effort to try and keep up with the news on games. But in terms of playing games, yeah, that has taken a huge hit lately. It's because I'm going full time, and it's, you know, it's pretty intensive, but it's not like I'm complaining. In the end, it'll totally be worth it. I don't have a problem giving up playing games. You know, it's just more limited in the meantime.
That's understandable. I was kind of like sushi for the first couple years of university. Dick off time, study for a handful of minutes, complain about having the test, take the test, do fine for the most part. Well, first semester, not so much, but the first semester was pretty terrible, but, you know, and then kind of dig off some more. So, I mean, I think my senior year definitely kind of helped really, really kind of, no, that was, you know, universe, like, if there's any time that you become a hardcore student, university is definitely a good time to start doing that.
It should be.
That is your occupation for the time. You better rock the dragon with that one, because that is, yeah. So, yeah, I don't know if there's anything else you guys want to add, or?
No, that's really, I'm just very interested in, like, like Pete getting into journalism and stuff. And I think, you'll be definitely better for it, Pete, even if you're not really interested in whatever politics and whatever other articles you're reading. It'll just expand your knowledge of so many things.
Yeah, it's
right?
It's and, definitely good to know. Yeah, it's a better way to learn how to write better. You know, I'm having to taking a grammar class. You realize just how much you don't know about how to write correctly.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Oh
yes.
My goodness.
And it makes you hate the internet just that much more.
Totally.
Yeah, when you go from classes and then you see what's on the internet, it really scars you. You're just like, oh,
everyone gets on you though. Oh, grammar,
stop being a grammar Nazi, like, stop being a hardcore grammar lover.
English language is really screwed up though. It's really, you know, teachers ask me all the time, you know, why is this sentence like this? Or, you know, I have a base idea of a lot of the grammar concepts and stuff because I've had to teach them and such, but there's other stuff I'm like, you know what, it's just that way. There is no answer for that. It's just evolved so much over time that there is no grammatical cue for that anymore. It's just, that's what it is now. But Pete, get off your butt. Go travel the world, man.
Become that journalist.
Yeah, I do. I do want to. I'm not going to be one of those journalists. Hell no. I'll tell you one thing. I have a lot of respect for those journalists. Yeah, Those guys that go to other countries, I'm telling you, like, they got
they're
it rough.
They're
hardcore.
hardcore journalism.
Pete on the front lines, playing his DS, 3S.
Maybe at front lines of, like, E3 or some shit. Waiting in a line.
I'm here at the Brazilian game show.
That would be
where the Sega Master System still reigns supreme. Which would still be pretty awesome, though. Awesome. Yeah, I don't know. I actually just wrote down a few things. I don't know if you guys don't mind quickly. I was thinking, and Pete brought it up, about like how as a gamer and having this broad range of games in your repertoire, I guess, as part of being a gamer and liking a variety of games. I just started thinking of like a bunch of different games that I thought were not necessarily hardcore, but different and sort of unique, as I brought up really early on in the podcast, that if you guys don't mind, I'll just list off really quickly. Maybe you guys can agree or disagree if you played them or not.
Sure.
Shoot.
All right. I'll just do really quick. So I got here, first one is for the NES, Kabuki Quantum Fighter.
Not familiar with it.
It's like an old sort of action platformy game. I don't remember who made it. It's one of these games I rented as a kid, and it's kind of different. It's just very different. And the guy, he's a kabuki, and he uses his hair to hit things. It's really different.
Awesome.
It's really cool. It's got all this sort of vector type graphics as best as the NES could do it, I suppose. But it's a really different game. A couple other NES games like Power Blade, Totally Rad, Low G Man, stuff like that. Stuff that are, you know, action power, action platform type games that are
The Adventures of 3D World Runner or something? That one's a.
I don't know that
one. That's a pretty awesome platform. You don't know 3D World Runner? I think that's what it's called, isn't it?
I don't know. Is that on the system?
It's on the NES. It's on the NES. It's a really goofy. You're running. You're kind of like behind the back of this character, and you're running, and you're trying to jump over these and avoid monsters.
Sort of like Space Harrier, then.
Yeah, kind of. Except for I don't remember being able to shoot. You just run and jump, and it's kind of wonky.
Hmm.
Anywho, but yeah, I'm sorry.
No, that's cool. No, it's chime in at any point. A couple of SNES games like Axley.
I've been after that one.
Yeah, Axley's a pretty neat one.
That's the one. Is that the one that uses the Mode 7 a lot?
Or am I thinking of a different game? Not that I remember. I mean, it goes from top view to side view a lot. It's by Konami, and it's just like this little orange ship that can kind of change its weapons and stuff. Sort of like a Gradius type feel, but a little bit.
I remember the background. Does it have some levels where the background sort of like scroll?
The background shift and stuff, yeah. There's some of that going on for sure. Even games that I think are not that great, but are interesting still, like Choro Q. For the PlayStation, Pete, maybe you know SEMA the Enemy on the GBA. It's sort of a Zelda kind of game where you're rescuing people and you're using them to get through puzzles and stuff.
I'm familiar with it. I think I actually, let me see, I'm looking up at my collection now.
Bit of a later release, maybe on the GBA. I don't remember the year, but.
I do have it, but I haven't played it yet. I see it right on my shelf right now.
It's not great by any means, but it's something worth trying. Again, just a bit of a unique game. Magic Pengel on the PS2, which was like this game where you could draw your RPG characters, like, but they were just blobs and stuff. If you wanted to draw the Dragon Quest slime, you could basically do that.
Awesome.
I don't know if it's like a rare game. Probably not. Gungrave on the PS2. Like, both of those games are pretty cool and different. Was that Herzog's Vi on the Genesis? I have some others here, like Phantom Dust on the Xbox, Otogi series, just looking quickly, Riviera on the GBA or the PSP.
Yeah.
One I really like, Twisted Tales of Spike McFang, really cool one.
I've been meaning to play that. I picked that up not too long ago.
Yeah, that's a good one. You should give that one a go. New Zealand Story with the little kiwi birds, really fun. Kickle Cubicle on the NES, a very good little puzzle game where you like shoot ice blocks and stuff. I don't know. I just had a few other ones. Zexies on the NES. I don't want to keep going too much here, but definitely stuff like that. Just a few, I guess. I don't know why I even brought it up, but just expand your mind, man.
Man, do it. Yeah.
So, anyways, why don't we move on to, would you guys like to play a game or?
Sure.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. So Pete, you got to pick a number 1 through 4.
Okay. My lucky number is 3, so I'll pick 3.
3. What is 3, Sushi?
3 is the Fact or Fiction game. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with this one, Pete. I think we played it once. Is that right, Taylor?
That is correct. We did it with Darrow, I believe, or Darrow.
Okay, so Fact or Fiction basically is you're going to come up with a statement, and it has to be either fact or fiction. And Taylor and I, if you're first, Pete, Taylor and I would guess fact or fiction, and then we would get a point if we're correct on
whatever you're saying.
So, hopefully you're not lying, but if you lie, it's fine, whatever. But yeah, it's not that hard. It's really not. I mean, if Taylor says, like, I played 25 hours straight of World of Warcraft, you know, fact or fiction, and then you just say fact or fiction and get a point.
The only hard part I'm thinking of a question right now.
With something in mind. Yeah, that's the only problem is getting everything like in your mind, get the wheels turning. So, Taylor, how did you want to go about who maybe starts?
Yeah, you should start because you won the last game.
Did I?
Yeah.
Okay. fair enough.
No, yeah, in your face. And then we can...
All right. It wasn't in my face. You guys get a chance at a point. That doesn't make sense.
It's in your face because we have a chance for a point. You don't.
Okay. How many points are we going to? That's the first thing we should...
Seven last time, I believe.
Seven. Okay. Do you have a piece of paper to maybe just jot down? Like,
sure. I have paper in my hand in 5, 4. I got paper, and I have a pen in 5. I got paper. Okay. I am good. I am set. I am good. Yes.
And what point value are we playing to?
7. Okay. And so, Sushi, you'd go first, and then I guess myself. So give the guest the chance to right, right. So it'll be Sushi, myself, and then you, Pete.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. The first one I will come up with is I have sat through an entire movie not watching it while playing my GBA. Fact or fiction? So in a movie theater.
In a movie theater.
In a movie theater, not like just at home, but in a movie theater, sat in the movie theater, basically didn't watch the movie and just played my GBA. Obviously a lit GBA because it'd be dark. So.
I would say fiction.
I'm going to go beat on that one. I'd say fiction.
Okay, you guys would both be right.
Okay.
So I was going to say, I would imagine someone in the theater would like scream at you to turn that screen off.
Well, maybe if you were sitting in the top corner, like the dollar theater or something, I don't know, maybe. Why would you bother to go to the movie then, right?
So, for a dark room, anyways. I guess, but why play the GP in a dark room?
I thought I could maybe get you guys. So, anyways,
I was tempted to say fiction there. I mean, fact there. I was tempted to say fact. I was really, really tempted because you do some goofy shit sometimes from the sound. That'd be.
I'm a unique individual. I am not a drone.
Okay. Fact or fiction? I have played 3 days straight of Donkey Kong Country 3 while sleeping only 15 minutes each night. In between.
Fiction.
15 minutes each night.
Yeah, so say play in the day, starting a day, and then at night sleeping for 15 minutes, waking up, playing Donkey Kong Country 3 pretty much all day, and then...
Did you rent the game? Can I ask that or no?
I own the game, let's say.
Okay, you own the game.
Yeah.
I will go against Pete. I'll say fact.
That is a fact. I did that.
Whoa.
Crazy.
I did that in, when was that? In between 6th and 7th grade. And so that would be, I was, how old was that? I was 11, 10, 10, 11, 12 in there. And yeah. One summer. Totally. I love Donkey Kong Country 3.
Are we allowed to do questions that are like just gaming related?
Yeah,
sure. Okay. If you are like positive that you know the answer, absolutely.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm like 98% sure on this. Since Nights into Dreams just did receive a recent release on a certain console, how many versions of the original Nights into Dreams, not counting Christmas Nights, are available, not just on consoles, but other, I guess, platforms as well?
Platforms?
Okay. Yeah. Are there 5 releases of Nights into Dreams?
So you're saying we should say if there are 5 or not? Yes or no? Like fact or
fiction? Yeah, do you believe there are 5 different iterations of Nights into Dreams?
Okay. Trying to think if the Gamecom had, because the Gamecom had some pretty funky shit on it.
And I'm going to say true.
The R-Zone had some shit on it, too. I know the R-Zone had, like, Panzer Dragoon on it. I don't know if it had Nights. I'm going to say fiction.
And I said true.
So... There is the Sega Saturn version. There is the PS2 version, the 360 remake, which just came out. There was a Knights game on the Tiger R-Zone
There was on the Arizona?
Yeah. And there was, now this one's questionable. I don't know if you can agree with it, but there was a Knights Tiger handheld game. So that would make five if you count that.
Sure, why not? I mean, if it basically played like a Knights game would, yeah, sure, why not?
So well, yeah, it's totally branded Knights. So yes, that would be fact.
Sure. Wait, I thought you said it didn't include the HD remake, though.
No, I said it didn't include Christmas Nights.
Didn't include Christmas Nights.
Maybe I misheard. But anyways, fine. Taylor gets the point. It's fine. It's cool. No, I thought you said, and I was like, okay, never mind. But anyways, you listed all five, so it's fine. So my turn again.
Back to you.
All right. Oh, I had one. I currently own over 30 Dreamcast games. Fact or fiction?
Fact.
Fact.
Yeah, it's a fact. 31.
Right off the top of your head there. Just boom, 31. Yeah. Are they even with you, though?
Yeah, I have them, right. That's one of the few things I do have.
Oh, okay. All right, currently, Sushi, you have one, Peach, you have two, and I have three. So, my turn? My go?
Yep.
Here we go. I got one. I have never beaten Seiken and Setsu 3.
I will say fact.
I'll say fact as well.
I have beaten it. I've beaten it with the Duran storyline. Have faith in me, guys. I did beat it. Yes, I actually played.
You also played Donkey Kong Country 3 for 3 days. I guess we should have.
Going with the motif here. Things are going to be in threes. So, okay. Pete, off to you.
The Riviera, the Promised Land, originated on the Game Boy Advance.
Yes, true.
True.
Fact.
That is fiction.
What?
The Game Boy Advance version is actually a remake of the WonderSwan version.
WonderSwan? I should have known.
Sushi, over to you.
All right. I own 5 Tales games. So any of like Tales of blah, 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 whatever.
I'm going to say fiction.
Yeah, it's a fiction. I don't like Tales that much. So.
Hater. Hater of Tales.
Nah, they're okay. They're just, man, whatever. They're all right. Yeah, just not my thing.
All right, back to
Taylor.
Back to me. Metal Gear Solid 3 is one of my favorite games of all time.
Fact.
Facts.
That is a fact. I love it. I love it. I love it. So
I think you remember you were really excited for the 3DS remake there. Right?
That and also the HD and also the fact that I have like 7 different versions of the damn game. Yeah. I think it's also because it's got the Bond vibe to it. Snake Eater. Yeah. Anywho, beat over to you.
Currently, for myself, ranking the original 3 Sonic games on Genesis, the order in which I would rank them from favorite to least favorite would be Sonic 2, Sonic 1, and Sonic 3.
Say fiction.
I think that's a fact.
That is fact, yes. My favorite would be Sonic 2, Sonic 1, and I am probably in the minority, but Sonic 3 would be my least favorite of the original 3.
I would probably say you're probably not in the minority of that. I think a lot of people don't like 3. Taylor and I already had this discussion, so we won't go into it.
Right now, after the second round, I guess you'd say, Sushi, you have 3 points, Pete, you have 4, and I have 4 points.
All right. The game Shadow Dancer, The Secret of Shinobi, I found a copy of the game on the street and took it home. And aside from that, it was the Japanese copy. So it was a Japanese import copy of Shadow Dancer, The Secret of Shinobi, and I found it in the street.
That is a incredibly detailed...
But you know I've come up with other weird shit, so you don't know if I'm telling the truth or not, fact or fiction.
I'm going to say fiction.
I'm going to say fact. That sounds so stupid that it's fact.
It was a fact, and yes! It was in the case.
Damn, I thought you were going to say the American version.
No.
Where did you find this?
No, I bought the American version. I found the Japanese version. It's in the street. Back alley. Like, somebody threw it out.
Back in Canada? Or
yeah, in Canada. Like, it's just on the street. I was like, man, this probably doesn't work. And it worked. It's just fine. That's Taylor 1 point, right?
Yes. Okay. All right. So, Fire Emblem We're going with the third iteration here. The Monjo no Nazo, the Secret of the Emblem, has one of my favorite characters in it, and that is Finn.
Sorry, who?
Finn. Finn.
Finn? Finn? Okay. So,
and he is a, let's say, he is a kind of like a paladin kind of character.
A paladin character?
Kind of, okay. Kind of.
So some sort of cavalry type unit.
And he is in Secret of the Emblem.
I mean, I don't know much about a lot of those other Fire Emblem games, so I will just say fact. I'm not really sure. So.
I will say fiction.
It is fiction. He is in Genealogy of a Holy War.
Yeah, I don't know enough about...
Seisen no Keifu. So, Pete, point for you.
This is getting harder and harder now. All right, how about... There are only 3 RPGs for the Nokia N-Gage.
Ah, yeah, okay, let me think. My friend has pretty much every N-Gage game, and he has Pocket Kingdom... Which actually I own, surprisingly. I don't even have the N-Gage. What else do you have? I keep thinking there's a lot of shooters on there. There's Call of Duty, there's Tomb Raider, Bomberman, Rayman 3's on there, Glimmerati's on there.
I have no idea. I'm just gonna say fiction. You eventually work that out, because I have no clue.
Well, I won't take too long. I don't wanna put up too much, but there's only a handful of games. I think there's about 50-ish releases, maybe less, maybe just under that. Maybe I should just call my friend. Can I phone a friend? And the sad thing is I bought most of those N-Gage games for him because EB Games is dumping them for like $5, and I kept buying them for him. I will say, Taylor Sword, what did you say again?
I said fiction.
Fiction? I'll stick with that, then I'll say fiction as well.
You'd be correct. I don't know the exact number, but I own most of them. I'm trying to see up there now. There's a game called The Roots, Requiem of Hell, Rifts, Promise of Power, that X-Men Pocket Legends Kingdom game. X-Men Legends is an RPG, yeah. Xanadu is on there. Xanadu Next.
Yeah, I remember that. There's that one, what game? You've mentioned it
before. Oh, Shadow Key. Yeah. Elder Scrolls Shadow Key. Yeah.
So. Shadow Key, like an adventure game, or?
Like Elder Scrolls,
like.
So then
like Oblivion, more... Skyrim, yeah.
Okay.
It was exclusive to the N-Gage, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, Taylor, you and I got a point?
Yes, and with that round...
So you're one more, right?
It's... Sushi, you have 4, Pete, you have 5, I have 6, so this could be match point.
All right.
Choose wisely, Sushi.
I'm ready. I have seen a very early build of Jade Empire at a university event. So I have seen, this is obviously a long time ago, but I had seen a very early build of Jade Empire at a university event. Now, this was at a education pavilion event. So it was mostly about education. Do you think that's a fact or fiction?
I'll say fact.
I'm going to say fact.
Yeah, it was a fact. Yeah! But I'm from the same town as where BioWare originated, and they had, I don't know why, I guess they were probably thinking like people in the education field could be useful for as maybe like dialogue writers or something. I don't know what they were going for there. PR guys, maybe? I don't know.
Obviously, ancient Chinese history.
Faux history.
Deadpan silence. Yeah, faux history.
Yeah, and Jade Empire looked like shit when I saw it. I was like, man, this game's gonna suck ass. And then I ended up buying it, and it was actually probably one of their best games. Very disliked game in a lot of ways. Actually, didn't sell very well, from what I recall.
So yeah, that is
Taylor. You pulled it out. Did you win the other time too?
Yes, I did. I can tell when people are lying better than other people. Evidently, I am a good lie detector for no reason.
Because you're a good liar.
I'm a good liar. Yeah, that
takes one to know one.
The burn. I need some aloe vera for my burn now.
Yeah, that stuff works well.
But yes, just to rub it in Sushi's face, because I don't get to do it very often. Pete, you did come in second. Woo!
Yeah, Pete.
With 6 points, and Sushi, you are last with 4.
How many times have I lost the games? What, twice now?
Of both of the truth or fiction, when you've lost both of those. And you also lost a couple other games.
Probably something else, but usually I come out on top on Taylor, so I don't feel that bad. And it's just all in good fun.
It's the humor of me getting to rub in something of not getting to win very often. I am not a graceful winner. I am the winner. I am not gracious.
I'm coming to your house.
Bring it. Anywho, Pete, thank you for coming on.
Thank you very much for coming, Pete.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It was a lot of fun. I didn't think we can go quite that in-depth into hardcore gaming. You know, it's such a weird term. I was thinking before I came on, I'm like, man, just how much can we dissect it? But I think it was a really interesting discussion. So, yeah. Very cool.
Yes, and I definitely, if the people who are listening, I guess would be good to kind of see where you guys sit on the term of hardcore, what you guys think of it, and when it comes to mind, or when it gets brought up in discussion or something, what you guys have to say. So definitely add any sort of comments, and, you know, I guess how you feel, if you would claim yourself to be a hardcore gamer, or if you think it's kind of silly, or just anything, I guess, would be cool.
So. Yes.
So, anything else do you want to add, Pete, Sushi?
Go ahead, Pete.
I was just going to say, make sure if you, anybody that owns a PS3 to download Tokyo Jungle for the PlayStation
Network. That game looks pretty cool.
One of the most unique gaming experiences this year. So that's it for me.
Cool.
How about yourself, Sushi?
I just wanted to say, you know, thanks again, Pete. You seem to be a pretty busy guy. So, you know, giving us your gracious time is very, very much appreciated. So thank you.
Yeah, not a problem. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, that's it. So I don't have much else to say. I guess I should stop talking. But anywho, thank you once again, Pete. And as always, thank you, Sushi, for being my co-host.
Well, thank you. So, I don't know what you're getting at, but thank you.
So that's it, guys. So thanks for listening, and have a good day.
Hardcore.